I subscribe to probably 25 or 30 email newsletters just on marketing and copy and internet business. And I see a whole lot of offers come through my email inbox every day.
Uh-huh.
And so many of them never address any of those things.
Right.
And consequently, I rarely buy any of those products.
Right.
Or if I do, they end up getting returned or they just never get used.
So back to ASOP Marketing and working with Mark. Where did Mark come up with all these ideas? Is he a prolific reader, or where did these ideas just come out of the air? Or how did he end up coming up with all this stuff?
You know, there's two questions in there.
Yep.
One, yes, he is a prolific reader. He has studied speed reading. He also knew that Virginia loved to read, and he would actually pay her to read.
Like no way.
Spare time. Yeah, absolutely. She would, you know, he would get books because people would send things in as samples or promos, and she'd have a certain number of books that she was reading every week, and basically getting an additional paycheck for book reports, where she would summarize or, you know, tell him what's important. Mark, of course, would read constantly, and I think anyone who is serious about their business should. I just heard, I think it's in Dave Lacani's, I think it's a 30-minute marketing audio series.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I listened to that, and it was pretty compelling. But the one thing that I really took away from that is he said, if you are the marketing person in your organization, you should be reading at least 2 marketing books every month.
Excellent.
And that really hit home for me. You know, there was a period when I was at Walmart, I did absolutely nothing business-wise on the internet. You know, it was just a personal communication tool.
Uh-huh.
And now that I've graduated from that phase in my life, I've found that I'm just absorbing information left and right. I can't get enough. I'm reading books constantly. And the other side of that equation, and something else that Mark is excellent at and that Mark taught me, if just by example, is you have to keep your ear to the ground and constantly scan for new information, and you have to absorb what resonates with you and spit it back out right away, and always be taking action.
Right, okay. So, but you need to take action and then follow up to make sure that the product gets to the market.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you do need to follow up and make sure that your product gets to the market as well. And sometimes that's hard.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's a hard balance to make, but...
I think that's one of the biggest difficulties that a lot of entrepreneurs have is... I think as an entrepreneur, you can come up with a lot of different ideas wherever they come from. And then it's a matter of following up with the ones that you actually take action on. I mean, you come up with maybe, you know, 10 or 50 ideas a month, and then, you know, you can pick a few and go with it, but then that also adds to the workload that you had from the 10 or 50 ideas that you had from last month. So I think the follow-up is difficult.
Well, that's where Simpleology comes into it. And if anybody has not gone through that course, it's free. I can't recommend it enough.
Where would you, is that simpleology.com or where is that?
Yes, simpleology.com. I'm not earning anything by promoting this. This is just out of the goodness of my heart and out of the goodness of Mark's.
Very cool.
Another thing that I really admired about Mark from the beginning is he really does care about people. He's written in different articles, you know, things along the lines of if I could jump through the computer screen right now and shake you into taking action, I would.
Right. Yeah. He's a very compassionate person.
Yes, he is, and he really wants people to be successful and happy and productive.
So, go ahead.
If there were more productive people in the world and less people who sat around thinking about things or taking, you know, desperate steps that are may help them in the short term but are ultimately either awash or destructive to society, you know, wouldn't the world be a better place? That's where he and I are both headed.
So is that one of the things that makes Mark different from kind of most of the other marketers?
Absolutely, absolutely. The way that he cares about people is uncanny.
So other than, I mean, that's a big slice of Mark personality, and I think that comes through if you listen to any of his interviews, and like you said, go through the course. I think that's one big thing, I would say, what was the overriding factor that comes out about Mark, is he is a genuine, caring person. He's not just out there to grab your money. But other than his personality, what really made Mark a very successful internet marketer?
Although it probably lost him some opportunities, the fact that he was always moving on to something new actually did work to his benefit. I think that's an amazing trait for him, simply because he learned in the Army how to get more done and how to just figure out what was most important and go for that first.
And how do you do that? Like, how do you stay? He always stayed ahead of the pack. You could say he was really a trailblazer. But how did you end up getting there, as opposed to, you know, kind of following the general mush? Was it his ideas? I mean, how did he end up, you know, putting together Start Blaze whenever that was a popular thing, and then Exit Blaze and Simpleology? I mean, he's coming out with stuff that really is the, I would say, cutting edge or the leading edge of almost anything that he goes into. He seems to be, you know, the leader as opposed to, you know, any of the followers.
Well, you asked this question before, and I only answered one part of it. I answered whether he reads.
Mm-hmm.
But the other question was, how did he come up with his ideas?
Yeah.
A lot of it really was Socratic, whether he was sitting down and visiting with one of his developers, or even visiting with people in customer service, or myself with systems, like especially when he was looking for a new approach to email and customer support. We sat down for maybe 3 or 4 hours at a time and would just discuss things back and forth.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's really important, that you develop rapport and you're able to feed off of ideas and set this time aside to be open-minded and develop something.
Right, okay.
And he'd kind of switch between these modes. You might go and visit him in the office one day, and you know, and talk for 2 hours and come up with things, and he might sit there in funny posture and swing his chair back and forth. You can tell that he's really thinking, and it gets you really thinking, and you're throwing ideas out and you know, just trying to think outside of the box, and that's great.
A real brainstorming activities.
Right, right. But then you sit down the next day, and he's writing, you know, just 18 letters in a day.
Oh, good heavens.
And sending, you know, and sending you one message just as a quick follow-up, just to say, well, these are the priorities about what we're going to do with this project.
Cool.
And
so the farewell package, I mean, was that one of the most or more successful projects that you guys actually put out, or how did that rank compared to the rest of the work that you're doing?
Well, I think it depends. How are you gauging success?
I'm thinking really, maybe this is kind of archaic, but I'm thinking dollars.
You know, it probably was the largest grossing product of anything, considering the period of time that it was marketed also.
Right. Yeah, that was a lot of money in a very short period of time.
Yeah, it was.
Now, the only thing that I've, basically talking to people who have also bought the Farewell package, the only shortcoming that I've heard is because programmers, writing a program is almost like an individual experience, it's difficult to give another programmer the script or the code and be able to get them just to simply plug in and work with it. Is that something that ended up kind of being an issue with the Farewell package, or is that something that, from a non-programming standpoint, I'm completely misunderstanding the whole point?
Okay, those are valid concerns. I will concede that there were probably a few scripts on there that really were not written with the idea of anyone else ever, you know, making them work.
Sure. Yep.
They were internal scripts that were written by, you know, somebody in their own shorthand, and like I said, Mark had many different developers who were often working on a project by themselves and
right.
and would be given free rein on certain things, and they were just accountable for you know, making it work under whatever time frame you'd given them.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that that's the majority of the scripts, though, based on even just on the results that I saw from people who, you know, who were able to just take things and make them work.
Okay.
Now, to some person, especially if you approach a developer with a Perl script and they're used to working in PHP,
mm-hmm.
Of course they're going to tell you, well, I'd rather just rewrite it myself.
Yeah.
As long as you have somebody, though, who at least understands the methods and is familiar with the language that it was programmed in,
uh-huh.
perhaps people don't understand the at least the leverage that you have in going into that, where you say, I have the script, I just need to make it work for this amount of money.
Right.
I know somebody who can, okay?
Uh-huh.
And that was one of the things that the Farewell package would allow you to do.
Uh-huh.
We put people in touch with people who were both familiar with the scripts, a lot of people who had actually worked on them, and other people who had already, you know, had success with putting things together.
Okay.
And
that's part of the package?
Yeah. That community was all part of the package.
Right, okay.
Each of those developers would charge their own fee.
Uh-huh.
But there was competition there. And like I said, you can take this to somebody who is capable of doing that and say, this is a reasonable price to get this working. If you would rather rewrite it to get that done, go ahead and do it.
Uh-huh.
If it works, why do you care?
Exactly. Yeah.
But here's you know, something that I know can be done, and here's an amazing reference for you to work from, okay?
Right. Yep.
If you even just need to go through and spend 10 minutes at seeing how this was written and then rewrite it yourself, that's fine.
As long as you have the same end result.
Yeah.
That's
and to be perfectly honest, yeah, some people probably could. They could probably rewrite it faster than adapting it.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't disagree with that. But for those people who own the Farewell package and also got 18 hours of probably some of the world's most legendary interviews, you have a bargaining tool
uh-huh.
that's unparalleled, and you have, you know, for those people who own the Farewell package right now,
yeah.
that's still, I mean, that's like an instant credibility builder.
Right. Yeah.
There's only, but I think it was 1,000 of them or something like that.
Yeah.
It was an incredibly low number of people who have the rights to this information and who can, if you just say this, you know, this is based on the code from Start Blaze.
Yeah. You, like
you've
you said,
got credibility built in right there. And that's, you know, that's one of the big four if you've read the Irresistible Offer.
Right, yeah. My next question is that kind of follows in with what's mentioned in the Irresistible Offer.
Mhm.
What's your opinion on that book, on Mark's the new one?
I just finished it actually this past weekend, Sunday, and I was really impressed. I love the ideas put forth in there. I think it's absolutely timely and timeless at this, you know, simultaneously.
What kind of information is in there that really struck you as beneficial?
You know, there's really only maybe four or five chapters that are the core of that book.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like you have this incredible vignette that's a masterpiece.
Right.
And then it's followed by, you know, four more vignettes of reasonable quality, you know. Mm-hmm. And if they weren't compared to that first one, they would be stellar on their own,
right?
But it's like there's traditional marketing information following something that was revolutionary at the beginning of the book,
right? Yeah,
and he makes it flow, and it all applies. But that was just my impression from reading the book. But not to discount it. I mean, I would pay twice as much for half the information in there.
What's the revolutionary side of it?
The revolutionary side is that you're not looking for a unique selling proposition. You're not trying to trick anybody into buying your product. You are trying to let them know what will help them. And that's this benevolence that we talked about,
right,
that's often associated with Mark Joyner.
Yeah.
And
that's unique, because one of the big marketing things is finding your USP, or your unique selling principle.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, well, again, it's Mark going against the grain and leading the pack.
Yeah, it is. It is.
So
what he's talking about is a completely different way of approaching the same thing that the people looking for the USP are looking for. You're looking for that set of words that is as concise as possible, that's going to resonate with your consumer and convince them to buy. But the way that he guides you to create your own irresistible offer is revolutionary. And I can't really tell you more without giving away the book, and I'm not going to, you know, sit here and read to you those chapters. your listeners,
that would be a really long.
I'd like to.
That would be a really long interview.
Yeah, it would. That would extend probably a lot longer than we have. But
so that's cool.
Absolutely worth it.
I'd like.
But I would.
Sorry, go ahead.
It's. I think that book is going to. That book is going to stick around longer than the period that it's being promoted.
Excellent.
And that's more than you can say for most business books.
Yeah, exactly. On a personal basis, if you came online right now,
mm-hmm.
If you're someone, for example, who has very little money, very little business
okay.
experience, you're pretty new to the internet, what
mm-hmm.
would you suggest that you do first so that you as an individual would actually get the real information that's online and really get pointed in the right direction? You don't end up falling for all the scams and all that kind of thing. What would you recommend to that person, you know, that basically is a very much a beginner with very little financing? Where should they go?
Well, honestly, the first place that I would direct anyone right now who's in that situation you described, I would tell them to go to Simpleology first.
Okay.
And the reason for that is not because it has any business information, sorry, but because it will make all of the time that you spend after that point so much more effective.
Okay.
Two things that I mentioned before, you need to read constantly, and you need to take action constantly.
Uh-huh.
What would I read? Here's a couple of free resources that will ultimately teach you how to convince your prospects to take the action you want.
Okay.
One is Joe Vitale's newsletter. Okay. He sent out an email, I think it was today, about these shoes that he bought.
Uh-huh.
And all you have to do is read the letter and just examine it and look at how he writes certain things and it makes you feel. The other one is, and if you want to write entertaining copy,
uh-huh,
is go to the Gary Halbert newsletter.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's, he's a legend in his own right.
Yeah.
Sometimes a little controversial, but always intriguing and entertaining.
Yeah.
So, Gary's newsletters are the ones that you would read in your free time,
yeah,
if you weren't in business. But he's also an expert copywriter. Now, after those three resources, and especially with Joe's stuff, you can go back through his Mr. Fire site, and he has the news you can use. I think those are all archived back a couple of months, and that's a wealth of information.
Right, yeah.
Now, the next thing that I would probably want to do is cruise over to ClickBank,
mm-hmm,
set myself up with an account, look through all the offers and products that are there based either on, if something is really hot, I'm probably going to give it a second look. If it's in their top performers, then it's probably at least worth checking out whether it's something that I feel comfortable promoting.
Right.
If not, I would look at niches that I am naturally inclined to or have experience in.
Okay.
You hear this a lot when in almost any get started on the internet, book, whether it's 30 Days of Internet Success or whoever, almost everybody has written something along these lines at some point.
Uh-huh.
It's one, you got to follow your passion, and two, you need to pick a niche.
Yeah.
Now that's absolutely true. It is. If you're going to build a career, if you're going to build an empire,
uh-huh,
my next book is going to be about building an empire. It'll probably be the only internet marketing, information product I ever have.
Uh-huh.
But if you are interested in those things, you need to go with your passion. You need to find something that you can do day in and day out. When I read The Attractor Factor, that's what I figured out for me, is I need to be in music production and promotion ultimately. So what am I doing on here talking about Mark Joyner and internet marketing? Here's the thing that a lot of people miss,
mm-hmm,
is you need to start with your capacity, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If all you've ever known is gardening, you know what? You probably need to continue gardening.
Right.
Okay, I wouldn't say quit your job right away and run out and just start, banging on doors and spamming message boards and trying to promote whatever is, the number one affiliate program of the day.
Right. Yep.
Okay, it's not gonna get you where you need to go. I would, make sure that I have my income together, put together a budget for myself,
mm-hmm,
go through my garage and sell some stuff on eBay or Half.com or Amazon secondhand, do all these things to raise some capital, make sure that you are paying yourself first, that you are saving a little money, paying your bills, and reserving something for the business. Have something set up for all three of those things, because as soon as you get to a certain point, you're going to need to make some investments.
Yeah.
Okay, There are free resources out there for promoting your business, and some of them work very well, and some of them don't work all that well, but all of them are limited. You know, if you really want to get to that next step, you're probably going to have to buy some services, whether it's buying leads or direct marketing or, you know, all of these different methods.
Uh-huh.
Now, what I was saying before, you're going to get to where your passion is, but you've got to start where your abilities are, okay?
Okay.
If your passion is for, you know, outdoor lawn furniture, but you've never, ever, ever been involved with that,
uh-huh.
you're probably not going to have success on the first day, okay? So I wouldn't stake everything I've got on it. I would seek to put myself in a position to be an expert at some point in the future that is reasonable, or maybe even take that reasonable point and try to push it up a couple months and give myself a deadline.
Yep.
But look for a way to tradition or leverage your abilities into that other thing. There's two things that I've come across that almost every person or business is going to say yes to. Okay?
Okay.
And you want to know what these are, right?
I do. I'm on the edge of my chair.
Okay. All right. The first one is an internship.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
The second one is an interview.
Okay.
Now, those are two words that everyone knows and understands what's involved. Okay? Uh-huh. And the first one, an internship, I am going to do regular work for you at either no cost to you or a significantly lower cost to you, and in return I want to learn your skills, okay? And that's an age-old trade-off. It dates back probably to before money, okay? This is apprenticeship, like I was telling you about, Terry.
Right.
The other one, an interview, it's so basic. It's an appeal to your desire for fame, to have your voice heard. These are things that are, you know, a psychological trigger for everyone.
Right, just basic human nature.
And at the same time, you can justify it by saying, "Well, it's about, you know, I need to promote my business." Okay, mm-hmm. Everybody loves free publicity.
Yeah.
So there may be somebody out there who's currently out of your league, or you think is out of your league, okay?
Uh-huh.
But I strongly believe in the power of the cold letter.
Of the what?
Hmm?
The power of the what?
The cold letter.
What's that?
The cold letter. The letter that no one was expecting. When I set down my goals and said that I was going to be in music and learn how to do this and teach people how to make money with it,
mm-hmm.
I looked at my heroes and I wrote, and this was in my Simpleology daily targets list. It was write a letter to my hero.
Okay.
And I had no idea what was going to happen.
Uh-huh.
All I did was I sat there, I took a half an hour, I wrote a personal letter, I didn't even know whether I was going to be able to contact him or not, to Matt Mahaffey, who's a producer here in Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I want to do an internship and learn how to produce these tracks for you, and I will, you know, do dirty work for you, do the most boring editing, but this is what I'm asking for. And that was the gist of the letter. Well, some of it's more personal than that, and that helps. But I just wrote it.
Uh-huh.
All I did was I just wrote it, and then I worried about how I was going to get it there. Okay, he's not somebody who goes around publishing his information. He's not listed in the phone book, and yes, I checked. but another thing that Joe Vitale taught me, and this was in his Project Phineas home study course,
uh-huh.
which was long before he was famous. This was, you know, a tape set that he recorded in his bedroom back in the day.
Right, yeah.
Right, and most people have never heard this, although a lot of the information ended up in Power of Outrageous Marketing, which was his Nightingale set.
Uh-huh.
And he said, most people don't realize, but you're usually only 3 degrees away from anyone in the world at any given moment.
Yep.
If you look through the list of people that you know personally or can readily contact, they probably know someone who knows the person you're looking for.
Yep. I think that's amazing.
Right. It is amazing, and it's an incredibly powerful tool, okay? Because, you know what, I went through a couple different logic avenues, and I said, well, you know, who might these people know, and other people that I worked with, who might they know? And it turned out not to be anyone in my direct line, but I went to a guy who runs his fan site, and I just sent him a message, and I said, hey, here's this letter that I've written to Matt Mahaffey, and I wanted to know if you would be able to forward it on for me. It would mean a lot. That was it, and then the message was just below it. And I never heard back from this guy who you know, ran the site, and I was, you know, I sent it, and I was like, okay, well, that's about it. I looked at a couple other avenues, but that was the only shot I had at contacting him.
Uh-huh.
And amazingly, it worked. You know, it went through his assistant to his wife, and then finally she talked to him and said, hey, there's this guy who wants to do an internship with you. And he gave me a call. I started last week, and I have to say it's the most wonderful experience I've ever had.